The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Millie, Real Simple, and Woman's Day. First up, this one from Millie, the Money Knows section of their magazine, Getting to Know the Funds. Mandy Woodruff Santos, a career expert and co-host of the Brown Ambition podcast, offers investing advice on target date funds and index funds. As a 24-year-old living in New York City, saving for retirement was the last thing on my mind. It was all I could do to pay my rent and student loan bill on time each month. But I was also working as a personal finance reporter and talking to investing experts on a regular basis. And suddenly, it became impossible not to think about my long-term plan. Time and again, the professionals I spoke with said some version of this refrain, "Don't worry about how much you can invest, just get started." At that point in time, I knew that individual company stocks weren't the right option for me. I didn't have the bandwidth or the budget. So it came down to choosing between target date funds and index funds. Over the past decade, I've tried both options and have managed to grow my retirement fund by leaps and bounds. How they work? Target date funds are the investing equivalent to ordering from the prefix menu at brunch. For those of us prone to analysis paralysis, target date funds can be the key to getting out of your own way. They consist of various investments that are pre-selected by the investments firm itself. Your target date is simply the year in which you expect to retire. For example, a 25-year-old expecting to retire at age 65 might choose the 2060 fund. Then, all you have to do is pick your fund and decide how much you want to contribute to it. The rest is up to the fund manager. Over time, they'll automatically adjust your holdings, moving them from riskier assets like stocks to conservative assets like bonds and cash. Now think of index funds, like hitting the buffet line at a wedding reception. Servers dole out tiny portions of each item, allowing you to try a little bit of everything. You might decide to go heavy on the baked ziti and opt for a smaller portion of the filet mignon. An index fund typically tries to match the performance of a broad market, like the U.S.-based S&P 500. Unlike a target date fund, you've got more control with index funds and can choose a selection of funds that make up a well-diversified portfolio that you can adjust over time. For example, when you're younger, you might want to put more of your cash into index funds that track domestic and international stock markets and a smaller amount in bond index funds and cash. What they cost? Both of these funds are excellent low-cost investing options. Target date funds tend to be a bit more expensive because they involve some extra work on the investment firm's part. For example, as of July 2021, a Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund that has an expense ratio of 0.04% and a minimum investment requirement of $3,000. A Vanguard Target Date 2055 fund, that's year 2055 fund, has an expense ratio of 0.15% and a minimum investment of $1,000. Best of both worlds, when I was a newbie investor, the best thing I ever did was open a target date fund. If I had waited until I felt knowledgeable enough to choose my own investments, I would have missed out on months or even years of returns. I invested about $3,000 my first year and managed to grow that amount times 10 over the next few years. Eventually, I felt ready to choose my own investment holdings, selected a handful of different index funds within my 401k, and ditched my trusty old target date fund. Now less of my investment gains are going back into the brokerage firms' pockets as fees. If these funds don't feel like the right investment tool for you, pick something else. You have so many more options today than I did back then. Not to mention robo-advisors like Betterment and Wealthfront that make it even easier to get in the market. My biggest piece of advice? Just get started. From Better Homes and Gardens, seal the deal. Your home may be dropping clues that its envelope, where interior meets exterior, is letting cold air in or warm air out. Here's how to spot and fix the problems as winter sets in. A chilling fact: all the leaks, holes, and gaps found around a typical home add up to the equivalent of leaving a window open every day of the year. You want to seal off the leaks where you're losing your hard-gained warm air to prevent your dollars from going out through the cracks, says Paul Schollmeyer, a home inspector, Home Energy Score certified assessor, and owner of Efficiency Detectives LLC in Winona, Minnesota. Fortunately, there's a lot you can do yourself. First, exterior doors. If you can see light or are able to slide a dollar bill around your door, it's leaking air. Inspect the seals and sweeps at the bottom. If they're worn, replace with ones that have pliable sealing gaskets that fit snugly against the threshold. Add weather stripping and foam gaskets around door jams. For windows, use incense as a low-tech leak finder. On a cold, windy day, turn off your heater, turn on any exhaust fans, and hold a lit stick near a window. If the smoke gets pulled outside or blown into the room, you've located a leak that needs caulking or weather stripping. Then consider the windows themselves. If you have older single-pane windows, you can insulate them by installing inexpensive low-E glass storm windows. These can reduce heat loss through glass by up to 30%. Plastic film insulator kits are an even more budget-friendly seasonal solution. A hairdryer is likely required for installation. Attics. Check to see whether your attic access panel or door is insulated. If it's uninsulated, it's basically like an open door, Schollmeyer says. Cut 2-inch thick rigid foam insulation into 3 or 4 panels sized slightly smaller than the door or cover. Glue them onto the covering in layers, then seal around the lip of the opening with rubber weather stripping. For basements, rim joists, the band of wood that rests on a basement's foundation walls, are often left uninsulated. Cut rigid foam insulation to fit against the joists, filling any gaps wider than 1/4 inch with expanding foam. Seal the edges with acrylic caulk. And small stuff. Add store-bought foam gaskets behind the outlet and switchblade covers on exterior walls. Look around for the places where utilities enter your house. Fill gaps around plumbing or wires with caulk or insulating foam. From Better Homes and Gardens, At Work Wisdom. Do proofread. I think some of the biggest mistakes people make with email are sending too soon without proofreading, reading aloud for tone, or attaching something that they meant to attach. Do hold the X's and O's. Even over email, hugs and kisses aren't for near strangers. Until she's worked with someone consistently, the author prefers to stay formal, beginning emails with a dear and signing off with a simple best. You really want to start off on the right foot and make a good impression so they read the rest of the email, she says. Don't say thanks. It's unlikely advice from an etiquette expert, but Post says an end-of-email thank you is overused. Take a minute to think about it. Sometimes thank you as a sign-off can sound very assumptive. If you've asked a question or favor of someone and then you automatically say thank you before they've agreed to it, it can jump the gun a little bit. Instead, she recommends closing with thanks for any help you can offer. Do use appropriate punctuation. She's noted a generational difference with how many exclamation points people use in an email, rising as their age lowers. In more formal situations, you're going to want to keep them to a minimum or keep them out, she says. But a lot of people will see a period at the end of something and take it as a very serious tone. It does not convey the warmth and gratitude that most thank yous with an exclamation point do. Her tip? Before clicking send, read aloud to help you figure out what punctuation is going to be best. Oh, and at work, hold the emojis. From Women's Day, say bye-bye to belly fat. It's a surprising heart saboteur, and we've got the tricks to blast it. Feeling soft around the middle? Yes. It's a common complaint, especially after menopause, when body fat naturally starts settling in that area. If you have a rounder body, it doesn't necessarily mean you're unhealthy, but when you carry weight in your belly specifically, it can be worrisome. Here's why. Belly fat may be visceral fat, a type that actually accumulates in your abdominal cavity, where it wraps around internal organs, and then it disrupts the balance of some hormones, significantly increasing the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and certain cancers, says Aaron Polinsky-Wade, RD, the author of Belly Fat Diet for Dummies. One cause of belly fat, eating too much sugar and too many refined carbs, which messes with your body's blood sugar regulation and insulin production, causing more fat to settle in this middle area. But there are good-for-you lifestyle moves that can help zap this fat and keep it gone. First, everybody's favorite, exercise. Sweat it off. Exercise can help torch belly fat because it helps the body respond to insulin. And insulin signals your body to hang on to fat. Aim for 150 minutes of physical activity a week and add weights to your routine to build lean muscle. To see an even bigger difference, do high-intensity interval training, also known as HIIT, H-I-I-T, or short bursts of vigorous exercise that have been shown to be extra effective at reducing fat levels. Try it. After a 10-minute warm-up, spend 30 seconds doing as many reps as possible of moves like squats, push-ups, burpees, and even fast walking. Rest for 30 seconds, then do another fast 30 seconds of the same exercise or a different one. Continue for 10 rounds. Snooze soundly. Research shows that fat cells in sleep-deprived people don't respond as well to insulin. This insulin resistance may lead to weight gain. Trouble conking out? Try diaphragmatic breathing. Breathe in slowly and deeply through your nose. Slowly exhale through your mouth. Focus on your breath to prevent mind wandering. It's so relaxing, says Raj Dasgupta, MD, a sleep expert and an associate professor of clinical medicine at USC Keck School of Medicine in California. De-stress. When you're constantly tense, your cortisol levels remain chronically elevated. Over time, this encourages weight gain, and it can also cause you to stress eat sugary, fatty, or processed foods that can further pile on abdominal fat. Finding what works for you to tamp down tension can help prevent it from becoming a regular thing. A few ideas: sip a cup of tea and watch the leaves or snow fall. Light a candle and jot down a few things that brought you joy today. Or dab a few drops of lavender essential oil on your chest and soak in a hot bath. And find like-minded friends. Surround yourself with people who care about your heart-healthy mission and want to join in. Research shows that you're likelier to keep up with healthful habits like eating well and exercising when those around you are doing the same. Some belly fat busters. Certain foods contain the right nutrients to help decrease visceral fat. These are some top picks. Chia seeds. This superfood contains two visceral fat fighters, fiber, and omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3s help reduce stress hormones like cortisol that, says Polinsky-Wade, can trigger the body to store fat from around the belly rather than burn it when elevated. Beets. Red beets are a good source of fiber and phytochemicals, plant compounds that help regulate blood glucose to support healthy weight and less middle area fat. Barley. Whole grains like barley and oatmeal are high in soluble fiber, which studies have found may help decrease visceral fat accumulation. and green peas. Peas are packed with fiber, which supports a good digestion as well as helps balance blood sugar and regulate insulin. And surprise, they also contain protein. Along with fiber, protein keeps you full, so you'll be less likely to reach for sugary or processed foods. From Real Simple, 10-minute organizer, kitchen utensil drawer. If you've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty but can never find the one you need, pare down with these pro tips. The quick fix: empty the drawer and vacuum up the crumbs. Group items by function, measuring, cutting, stirring. Discard anything damaged and set aside duplicates to donate. Add dividers and arrange your utensils, stashing like with like. The habit: keep 5 or 6 items you use the most in a crock on the counter. Drop them in handle first so you can immediately see what to grab. Knives should live in a drawer, nestled in a holder that protects their blades. Before buying a new utensil, consider if anything you already own can accomplish the task. The tool: a single drawer insert may not accommodate everything. Instead, divide the space into columns with expandable drawer dividers. They can go in diagonally to fit long-handled tools in shallow drawers. Measure the height, width, and depth of your drawer to find the right size. And they recommend Acacia drawer dividers from $18 for 2 at neatmethod.com, neatmethod.com. And last, the mantra: no more than 2 cooks in the kitchen, and the same goes for utensils. You don't need extras or multiple sizes of an item. For instance, an orange squeezer will fit lemons and limes too. From Martha Stewart, I've got one more here from Woman's Day. 1 minute health moves to make right now. You'll want to high-five us for these doctor-backed wellness tricks to help you milk the most out of life. Got lightheaded? Get milk. Feeling shaky, lightheaded, or a bit anxious could be the result of a dip in blood sugar, which can happen when you can't grab regular meals. A quick fix: chug 6 to 8 ounces of skim milk. Lactose is a fast-acting carb, so it jumps quickly from your stomach to your intestines to be converted to blood sugar. If you're vegan or lactose intolerant, try dried fruit and nuts. Store the eye drops in the fridge. Stinging, scratchy, irritated eyes? Sounds like dry eye. To amplify the relief you get from over-the-counter eye drops, pop them in the fridge. Cold changes their viscosity, making them better able to penetrate the surface of the eye than drops kept at room temperature, says Alan Mendelson, MD, an eye surgeon in Hollywood, Florida. If you don't feel relief after several days, see an eye doctor. And slip on some slippers. Going barefoot at home is hard on your feet. Walking, lengthy standing, or working out without shoes wears away at the fat pads on your heels and the balls of your feet. Warning signs are pain, redness, calluses, and being able to feel the bones under your skin. Ease discomfort and slow the deterioration by wearing supportive slippers, sandals, or shoes around the house. And if you need a recommendation for house shoes, Vionic sells slippers and other footwear specifically designed to support footsies properly. Go to vionicshoes.com, VionicShoes.com. From Martha Stewart Living, here comes the sun. Our food editors agree that an egg and cheese sandwich is a great reason to get out of bed, but they each have a version of the classic they swear by. Whether you're team bagel or buttery roll, crispy bacon, or plant-based protein, the last step is the same: devour immediately. So Greg Loft's option, Sesame Bagel Sammy. Cooking the eggs over medium-high heat and plenty of butter is his trick to a light, fluffy omelet. Melt a knob of butter in a small nonstick pan over medium-high heat. Whisk 2 eggs with a pinch of kosher salt. Add to skillet and cook, stirring occasionally. When almost set, fold in half, then in half again in the other direction. Top the omelet with 1 cooked sausage patty and 2 Velveeta cheese slices. Cover and cook until just melted. Sandwich in a split, lightly toasted sesame bagel and serve. Sarah Carey's option, ham and rice special. This fried egg wonder is a fixture on her family road trips. Butter a side of 2 slices of rye bread. Heat buttered sides down in a nonstick skillet over medium-low until crisp. Transfer to a plate. Increase heat to high. Add a knob of butter. Crack 1 egg on one side. Add a ham slice on the other. And season the egg. Cook, flipping both once until egg is set and ham is golden. Place ham and 1 slice Swiss cheese on the egg. Cover, cook until melted. Transfer to the bread. Add ketchup and hot sauce. Sandwich and serve. Next, Lauren Tyrell's Meatless Sausage Sliders. Bite-sized King's Hawaiian buns make these a hit with her kids. Melt a knob of butter in a small nonstick skillet over medium heat. Whisk 1 egg with a pinch of salt. Add to skillet and cook, stirring often until just set. Meanwhile, place 2 split King's Hawaiian rolls on a baking sheet. Top each half with grated cheddar and broil until melted. Divide cooked eggs between rolls. Top each with 1 cooked Beyond Breakfast plant-based sausage patty and hot sauce, optional. Close and serve. And Riley Wofford's Bacon on a Roll. To go green, toss garlicky sautéed kale or spinach in with the egg. Cook 2 slices bacon in a nonstick skillet over medium heat until crisp. Transfer to paper towels, leaving the fat. Add 1 egg to the skillet. Season. Cook until white is just set, then flip and cook 30 seconds more. Transfer to a plate. Remove and discard fat from the skillet. Split 1 soft Portuguese roll. Layer bottom with 1 slice American cheese, bacon, egg, and another cheese slice. Close and heat in skillet over medium-low, covered, flipping once until cheese is melted. 1 to 2 minutes, and serve. From Real Simple, Brussels sprout salad. Active and total time are both 20 minutes, and it serves 8. And it says you can make it up to 2 days ahead. We need 2 tablespoons apple cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon honey, 1 tablespoon Dijon mustard, 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt divided, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 1 pound of Brussels sprouts trimmed and thinly sliced, about 5 cups, 2 cups thinly sliced radicchio from 1 head, 1 cup chopped toasted pecans, 1/2 cup roughly chopped sweetened dried cranberries, 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, and 1 ounce aged provolone or Parmesan cheese, shaved, about 1/2 cup. Whisk vinegar, honey, mustard, and 1/2 teaspoon salt in a medium bowl. Slowly drizzle in the oil, whisking constantly until well combined. Toss together Brussels sprouts, radicchio, pecans, and dried cranberries in a large bowl or storage container, if making in advance. To serve immediately, add dressing, pepper, and remaining 1 teaspoon salt to Brussels sprouts mixture and toss. Add about 1/2 of the cheese and gently toss to combine. Transfer to a serving bowl or platter and top with remaining cheese. To store and prep at feast time, refrigerate Brussels sprouts mixture and dressing in airtight containers separately for up to 2 days. To serve, let Brussels sprouts mixture and dressing stand at room temperature for 30 minutes. Whisk dressing to recombine and then finish as we said before. From Woman's Day, white bean and kale toasts. Active time and total time, both 20 minutes, and it serves 4. We need 2 tablespoons olive oil, 1 yellow onion, thinly sliced, 2 cloves of garlic, thinly sliced, 1 15-ounce can of white beans, rinsed, 3 cups baby kale, kosher salt and pepper, 4 half-inch thick slices of baguette, toasted, 2 hard-boiled eggs, finely grated, 4 teaspoons finely grated Parmesan. Heat oil in large skillet on medium. Add onion and garlic and sauté until very tender, about 6 minutes. Add beans and 1/3 cup of water and heat through. Add kale. Season with salt and pepper and toss until just beginning to wilt, 2 minutes. Top baguette slices with bean mixture, then eggs and Parmesan. And another, cheesy chicken and broccoli casserole. Active time 20 minutes, total time 40, and it serves 4. 1 pound boneless, skinless chicken breasts, kosher salt and pepper, 1 tablespoon plus 1 teaspoon olive oil divided, 1 yellow onion finely chopped, 1 clove garlic pressed, 3 tablespoons all-purpose flour, 3 ounces of Parmesan cheese finely grated, 12 ounces of broccoli florets, 3 ounces roughly torn baguette, about 2 cups. Heat oven to 425. Cut chicken into 1.5-inch pieces. Season with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in large skillet on medium-high and cook chicken until browned on one side, about 2 minutes. Transfer to a plate. Reduce heat to medium-low, then add onion. Sauté until tender, 5 minutes. Stir in garlic and cook another minute. Sprinkle flour over onion and cook, stirring 1 minute. Slowly stir in 1.5 cups water, scraping up any browned bits, then Parmesan. In 2.5-quart shallow baking dish, toss together chicken and broccoli. Spoon onion mixture over the top and bake for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, in food processor, pulse the baguette with remaining teaspoon of oil to form coarse crumbs. Sprinkle over casserole and bake until golden brown, about 15 minutes. From Good Housekeeping, balsamic roasted red onions. Active times 15 minutes, total times 30. This is good beside a roast beef or something like that. We need 4 medium red onions, each cut into 8 wedges, 4 tablespoons olive oil, 6 sprigs fresh thyme, plus more for sprinkling, kosher salt and pepper, 2 tablespoons balsamic vinegar. Heat oil to 400. On a rimmed baking sheet, toss onions with oil, thyme, and 3/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Roast for 12 minutes. Toss with vinegar. Continue roasting until golden brown and tender, 10 to 15 minutes more. Transfer to a shallow bowl. Sprinkle with thyme if desired. And that serves 8. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. For questions or comments, call 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.